Welcome to Soul Lies, where the spiritual and the soul crosses paths. Stay tuned to learn ways to grow your spiritual understanding in order to reveal lies your soul believes. This podcast will help you learn the truth and propel you towards freedom in Christ Jesus. This is Jenny Fouts, licensed counselor in Louisiana at Christian Center Shreveport. Well, welcome back. Today, I'm so excited. We're going to figure out and find out how Misty found her way out of this deep, dark pit of where she's gotten herself into, and she's gotten out of treatment. She's doing better. And Misty, you're out of treatment. You're thinking better. Things are going for you better. You get married, have some kids. Mm-hmm. Still doing a little bulimia here and there, right?
Yes, I am. So was my coping mechanism. After I got pregnant with my first child, when she was about two, she's now almost nine, but when she was about two, I think the Lord, you know, my husband and I both were drinkers and things, and so the Lord started dealing with that. As far as my husband had to go into treatment, and I went to a church because it was the only place I could see him, because I couldn't talk to him while he was in treatment. So I was just going to go see him up there. And you know, I always say the Lord used my husband's treatment to wreck me, because the first two, three Sundays I was just, I didn't even know what was preached about. I don't know anything. I was laying on my face at the altar, because for the first time, God wasn't with a magnifying glass at me. God was real, and he was personal, and he cared about me, and he saw me, and I didn't, it was like a foreign concept to me. And so everything changed. Everything changed. I put down cigarettes. I had already quit drinking at this point, just because it was a bad decision. But again, that was God, because you don't just decide one day, well, I pitched one too many crazy alcoholic fits, so I'm just going to stop drinking. You can't do that in your own power.
That's right.
I quit smoking cigarettes. I quit drinking. And I mean, I sold out to the Lord. And the funny thing is, I always talked about people that I would say, oh, them girls are quoting Bible verses on their Facebook. Mm-hmm. But I had people mention they thought I was going to be in a cult now. You're in that cult. And I'm like, no, I just know what it is. And I'll tell you, I was at my parents, because me and my daughter had to move back in with my parents while my husband was gone, because our lease had went up. And honestly, I didn't know if we were going to make it. So, I wasn't about to sign another lease. And I was a stay-at-home mom. So we didn't have any income coming in to pay for it. And so they left town to go see, you know, family members. And I stayed at home, and I was like, you know, at this point I've quit everything but smoking weed. And I'm like, I need to probably quit this too before my husband comes home. It's not going to be good. And he was like, oh, no, it'll be fine. But I was very convicted. And I was like, I have to quit. And I'm like, well, everybody's going out of town. I'll just smoke all the weed I have for this whole weekend, and then I'll just be done, and I'll put it down. And so the first night they were gone, I put my daughter to sleep, and I'm like, I'm fixing to go start just smoking it up, man. And anyways, I literally heard an audible voice and that said, Misty, I have big things for you, but you are not going to get them if you keep doing this. And I mean, it freaked me out. I ain't lying to you. It freaked me out. I sat back and I was like, God? Like, it was so weird, like from a movie. And so then I'm like, no, that's weird, Misty. You must be high. And so then I looked down to see if I had like smoked my weed and forgot about it. And I hadn't. And I mean, it was just one of the, I mean, you can't hear the voice of God and not be like, hey, it just wrecked me. It wrecked me. I threw it down. I haven't touched it since. I mean, that's just the Lord. I said, okay, whatever you want, I got. And I haven't looked back. And he's really, very gently walked me through this, because it's not like it was an instantaneous thing. Because like you said, I still struggled with it. my son is now 4. I mean, right after I had him, my husband's been through a few treatments too. And then right after I had my son was the last one. So a week later, my husband left to go to Alabama for 9 months. And that was a very difficult time of life. I thank the Lord I have my parents, because I literally had nobody else. And I had a 4-year-old, my daughter at that point, that had been promised, you know, it's going to be okay. We're going to still spend mommy and Ava time together and all this stuff. And that's not what it looked like. I now had a newborn and a 4-year-old, and I was trying to balance it all while I was cleaning houses to make some kind of income come in, with a baby strapped on my chest. And I mean, I had nothing. I was exhausted. I didn't know my marriage was going to make it. And I went back to an old coping mechanism. The difference was this time I had already let Jesus in. So I could hear when he started to lead me through some things and through the lies I believed wasn't good enough. That was the big one. You're not good enough. You don't matter. You're unlovable. All of these things that sound like something that you would know you believe weren't necessarily something that I saw that I believed and operated out of. And that is, I mean, that's what I was operating out of, because I didn't think I mattered enough for my husband to get sober. I didn't think, you know, I mattered enough for anybody to love me. And then at this point, now I've had a taste of the Lord. I understand I'm walking with him now. But I still struggled with, well, God doesn't really love me because I'm not a lovable person. Now, I wouldn't have said it like that, but my relationship with the Lord operated out of that even, because it's like, oh, I'd pray for something and then I'd be like, well, you know, whatever. He's listening to someone else's prayer more than mine, because he doesn't really love me that much as he'd love someone else. It was just all these things. And Jesus actually took me back to some childhood things that I was stuck in spiritually and had to let him come heal it and get me out. And things that he showed me, some things that I didn't know even had occurred. And you know, I had to get some healing. And I mean, it wasn't an instantaneous thing. It was a lot of falling and getting back up. But the difference, even trying to go through all these treatments and doing all these things without him, without Jesus being in it, because I wouldn't allow him to be in there. I was just striving and I'm going to do this, and this. Never worked. And as soon as I went back, it got worse. And then I'm over here now, still struggling, but I have Jesus here, so I can at least hear the voice of the Lord saying, no, I love you, it's fine. And even when I couldn't receive it, I got to the point I could receive it, but it took a minute. And I mean, I just know doing it without him and doing it with him, and it's just like, and I, even now, like I don't engage in those behaviors anymore. Most part, I don't want to, but the enemy will come every once in a while and go, you know, if you just ate that and threw it up real quick. And I'm like, no, buddy, Jesus delivered me from that one. I'm not going back there. Honestly, even if I really wanted to go back, like to just do the behavior, I wouldn't, just because I'm like, no, I'm not going back there.
You know, opening the door. So many people believe, oh, you can do just one drink. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Just do one drink, or just do it. It's Friday night. You deserve this. Yeah. Just hurt. one little bit of drugs. That's all.
Yeah.
It's all so it takes. You know that any step that direction opens the door.
Mm-hmm. I've walked both of those, and it doesn't. That's actually one of the things that got me to quit drinking, was because you know, oh, I can just drink this one afternoon. I'll have 2 drinks and this. And the very last time I drank, I woke up out of my bedroom. I walked out and there was powdered laundry detergent everywhere. I had no recollection of any of it. And I looked at my husband and I said, did I do that? And he was like, yep. And I was like, why? And he goes, I don't know. You're mad. I'm like, at what? He is like, I have no idea. None. And I mean, that for me, that was the Lord again, because that's all it took. Because I was like, I can't. I'm a mom now. I can't do this. This is nuts. But it starts with that little, oh, you can't toe the line. And I know it sounds scary when people hear, like, you got to be all in. You can't be halfway in. You can't be lukewarm. But you can't tiptoe the line, because eventually you're going to cross the line.
Yeah.
Every time. Even if you go for some months, oh, I'll just have a drink, or I'll just throw up one meal a month, or whatever you tell yourself, it always goes back, because the enemy just needs the window cracked. And if you let him in, you've now allowed him to come in and have access, and you're giving up your free will, because you chose. You're making a choice. You're choosing to be like, hey, dude, you want to come in my house real quick? And that, yeah. You may not think you're doing that, but you are. He doesn't need much. And I mean,
most people don't realize just how sneaky the demonic force is.
Very. One of the things I still have to be very careful of, and I'm not going to sit here and lie and say, I got it, I've mastered it all, because I'm not. I have to be very careful of body image and comparison. Like, I have to try to really protect against that. Just looking in the mirror. I mean, that's a normal thing most people do, right? They look in the mirror. They're like, I don't really like that. But, I mean, I would sit and obsess and be like, oh, this here. I need to get this, like, this. It's not a thing I really need to do anymore, because... why? It'll crack. That's all it needs is a crack. Then I'm looking in the mirror. Then, oh, I'm not satisfied with this. Well, then, oh, hey, by the way, you know how to fix this really quickly and easily. And again, if I entertain that, it's all it takes.
Yep.
So it's not coming out of this. Jesus delivers us, but we have a choice even still walking through it. Like, are we going to continue to walk it out with him? Or are we going to just say, you know, thanks for that. I still don't like this part, so I'm going to keep this part of it. Doesn't work.
I think it's important. You can't keep any part of any coping skills that take you down that kind of way. And we all have different coping skills. Mm-hmm. All of us do different coping skills. But it's the lie that puts you into that place. And so even now, you're having to stay vigilant against the lies mm-hmm. that want to come.
I do. And I have to, honestly, I'm still very vigilant about what I eat. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure I get enough protein. I like to exercise. I have to time cap myself on that.
Wait to hear the rest of the story of what Jesus ends up doing even with those things. But moving you from where you've been to where you are, at least coming out of the pit and seeing the light and mm-hmm. being experiencing the healing presence that he has. Mm-hmm. And then he does love each of us so, so very much.
Yes.
And I thank you so much for being able to share and tell your story to a issue that a lot of people won't talk about.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Our society values as most things that we value as a society very wrongly, and giving compliments. And I hope everyone will begin to think, when we compliment people on their mm-hmm. bodies, when we say things about people's bodies, I pray that you guys will really think about that. And if you can't manage to stop complimenting in those sort of ways, it would probably go very far with lots of people. Thank you guys for all tuning in. Thank you, Misty, for telling your story.
Thank you.
I hope that you guys have all enjoyed this, and that everyone has gotten a piece of information out that will help you, because we all struggle with coping skills that are not very healthy. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk with you, everyone, next week. Thanks. Bye-bye. Soul Lies is meant for information only. It is not a substitute for counseling.